This morning is a special Sunday at Cornerstone, as Leonard mentioned earlier, in that this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Traditionally, a lot of churches celebrate it, if I'm not mistaken, Katie, last Sunday is typical National Sanctity of Life Sunday. We are celebrating it this Sunday. And as part of Sanctity of Life Sunday, Katie Swisher, who is the Vice President of Discipleship at Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services, will be bringing the word for us today. It'll be a shortened word because as part of our word this morning, we're going to be hearing from families in the church who are living out this concept of sanctity of life in a very unique way in their families. So you'll hear more about that in a little bit. So Katie will eventually be getting up and sharing the word with us. And before that happens, though, Stephanie Steiner from also of Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services and of Cornerstone is going to be bringing us a little moment this morning that is connected to Sanctity of Life. And so, Stephanie, why don't you come on up here and your gang. Oh, your gang's not coming up just yet, though. Okay. All right.
Good morning. Like Matt said, my name is Stephanie, and I don't know if I have met all of you, but I moved here in March, and I live above the church in the School of Discipleship, and I also work at SVPS. So it's been really neat to get to know Cornerstone and become part of the family. At the same time, becoming part of SVPS and becoming part of the family and then seeing, wow, this is actually one big family that overlaps. And one thing that we're going to talk about today is just kind of like where those overlaps are. Like Matt said, Katie works for SVPS and Steve, and there's a lot of other people. Rachel is works on the front lines at the clinic in Lebanon, and it's so neat to hear. Her story especially has touched me a lot because she's the person when someone calls and is facing, they think they're pregnant or they're not sure, Rachel is the person that they speak to, that they kind of just get to share their heart. And God has put her in such a cool place to just care for them. And it's been really neat to hear her story. I would totally encourage you to get to know her and be praying for her. And we have a ton of other volunteers. Matt comes in and he counsels people. So does Ashley and Carlos. And Virginia is part of the sexual integrity ministry. So if you don't know a lot about SVPS, if you've been around a while, you probably have a pretty good idea. But there's three doors of service where people can enter. And the first and the main one would be that unplanned pregnancy intervention. So people are like, oh, gee, I think I might be pregnant. It's like a safe place where they can come and get help, get information. And then the second one would be post-abortion restoration. And when I first got involved with SVPS, when I was sort of like checking it out and interviewing and getting to know people, that was something that so touched my heart because I was like, wow, you know, abortion is such a hot topic issue in our culture. But I so often thought of people who had experienced that personally, and I thought there must be so much pain there. There must be, you know, shame and just a lot of complex emotions that we may not understand if we're on the outside of that. And it's so neat to hear the stories of how people can come into SVPS and share their feelings, share their story, and there's people to receive them, people who've been there before who can speak to them about God's heart towards them even as they walk through this part of their lives. And then the third door is sexual integrity ministry, which you would think like abstinence presentations in schools, which is kind of how it started, and you'll see that in the little video clip that we have. But it's so cool to see how it has evolved over the years, because now it's these small groups of girls, and they meet together, and they do talk about sexuality and God's plan for that in their lives, but also things like identity, like who are you? Who does God say you are? And it's just sort of grown into this holistic caring for them. And it's neat to see every piece. You know, I always think SVPS is an incredible group of women. There's people who care for the post-abortion, and they're so kind, and they're so tender, you know, and just like the nice person that you would want to go to. And I think of like Terry McCumber. You just want to go to her house and have dinner and just let her love you. And then there's the sexual integrity ladies who are like these fun, bubbly young girls, and they just have a heart for youth, and they give them a safe place to be like, I don't know what to do, or this is going on with my boyfriend, or whatever. It's like this fun, like energetic environment. And then you have the clinic where it's just like, I don't know what's going on. You know, we're pregnant. I can't do this, or money, or whatever it is. And they are so received. You walk into the clinic. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's on 8th Street between Walnut and Chestnut. And that was incredible when I actually went in there and got a tour. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a home. This is like comfortable. This is really, it's a safe place to go to. So if you haven't swung by, I would encourage it. But what I want to do is just kind of show you a video. We used it at our banquet, and this past year was the 25th anniversary of SVPS, so it's really exciting. Yeah, yay! So being fairly new on staff, it was incredible for me to see the history of SVPS, of like how it started and the things that God has been speaking throughout the years and sort of like forming not only the staff, but just the way that he conveys his heart through the ministry. So we'll do that. And then I just want to have a time of prayer for staff, volunteers, and people who are part of SVPS, and some people will kind of help lead us through that. So let's do the video. So as you can see, it's been an exciting 25 years, and I just feel so incredibly blessed to be a part of SVPS and to be a part of Cornerstone and to see all of those connections, especially when we talk about like the 8th Street ministry. I work in headquarters. My office is on 8th Street. Like, I could never have planned to be in this such unique position and a part of the kingdom and what God's doing here. So basically, let me share with you a little bit about the baby bottles, and then we will pray. They are up here. Feel free to come after the service and get them. You can involve your kids in it. It's a really great way to teach them about life and the way that God loves life and cares for it, values it. And what you do is you just put loose change, checks, cash, whatever you have, whatever you want to give. The baby bottle is there for you, and then we will make an announcement when we're ready to collect them back. So hang on to them until then, keep them around, and we'll collect them all at once together after some weeks. So I have asked Terry and Ben to come up and lead us in prayer. And if you work, volunteer on the board for SVPS, would you stand? And if there's someone around you standing, would you just put a hand or be involved in this prayer time?
Father, as we look at these people who are standing today, who are serving at SVPS, God, we thank you. God, we thank you for the 25 years you've given SVPS. And God, what a massive force for transformation in Lebanon. Those numbers are staggering, God, to think of the outreach that they've already had in these 25 years. God, I pray you'd bless each person as they minister there. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them love, insight, wisdom, patience, and God, as they deal with each person individually, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity in Lebanon to be part of this ministry. I pray that as we take these baby bottles home, God, that it'll be foremost in our mind what a difference we can make in giving to this. Father, we've been studying creation in the preschool room, and Lord, we're made in your image, and each baby displays that in such a unique way as they grow and mature. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to minister to families, to encourage moms and dads. Lord, the ministry to men, we just thank you for every outreach that SVPS has, and we pray, God, that you would strengthen each person here that's standing now, that is volunteering or working there. Lord, that you would give them the emotional strength, physical, whatever it is that they need, God, as they continue to minister. And Lord, as they seek to reach out to even more people, Lord, the teens with their training there and every aspect in the schools, whatever it is their outreach is, God, that you would just continue to bless that and open doors for them. And we just thank you, God, for the way we can see your hand on this ministry.
Jesus, we stand and come together today unified, Father, in this cause that you have placed before your people here in Lebanon. Lord, I can't think of anything that would make you weep more than what we have seen in the past with abuse of people and of babies. And Lord, I can't think of anything that would bring you more joy than to see your people doing something about it, God. So we stand unified on this cause, on this issue, Father, that we believe in life. You have ordained life in us, and you want to continue to ordain life for your people. So thank you for that vision that you've cast out and allowed us to see firsthand in our community here in Lebanon and here at Cornerstone. Father, we are grateful for the organization of SVPS, God, and the work that they do and the work they will continue to do. And Father, we asked for the resources needed to allow this ministry to go forward with strength and with passion, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bring encouragement to those workers that are involved. I pray, God, that you would show them trees full of fruit, Lord, of their efforts, Lord, and they would be encouraged by that, Father, and that they would know that you are 100% behind this and are in this with them. And we thank you that you're in this with them, Father, because to a person, they would admit that they cannot do it without you. So, Father, go before them and prepare their way, God. Lighten their days, lighten their steps, Father, and show them that that your power reigns in the work that you've called them to do. We thank you for each one. And we thank you for those out there, Father, that might be thinking about possibly a volunteer role in this cause, Father. There are many openings and many opportunities. And, Father, I pray that you would give strength to those that might be thinking about being involved with this organization. So thank you, God, that you love us and you love SVPS and those that are involved with it. In your name we pray.
Well, I just want to start this morning by saying that God is the ultimate mastermind. So his ability to create and form and engineer is completely beyond compare. God designed a master plan that is both flawless and seamless. And it's a plan that is centered on Christ, it involves us, and it gives him tons of pleasure. So that sounds like a pretty great plan. Well, let's turn to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10. That's our text for this morning. All right, Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Well, today, you've heard, Cornerstone is celebrating the sanctity of human life. And sanctity means sacredness. And we as Christians believe that which is sacred is of God. So basically, we're celebrating today that people and the life that he gives us is of God. And people are a part of God's master plan. And that plan was established before God even created the world. And we see it put into action in Genesis 1, where the Bible starts with the words, "In the beginning." In the beginning, God created. God took an empty, formless mass, and he said, "Let there be light." And there was. And after light, God made sky and land and plants and the sun and the moon, and he made the fish and the birds and the livestock and other animals, and after each, God saw that it was good. Well, then, according to Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, God said, "Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves." So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female, he made them. And then verse 31 tells us that God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Not just good, but very good, with the addition of mankind. And when God made that very first man, Adam, Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into it the breath of life. And the man became a living person." God took dust and he breathed his own breath into Adam. Now, we know that God is an eternal God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God always was, he is right now, and he is always going to be. So when God exhaled his breath into Adam, Adam received a spirit that would live eternally. And that eternal spirit given to that first man would be inherited by all the people yet to be born. And part of people being made in God's image is that we have a spirit that will live forever. Now, all people, you and me and our family and friends and the people that we know and the people that we don't know, are all created by God in his image. We are of God. Our lives have value and worth because of being created in God's image. Now, along with that, God formed us and everything else for a very special reason. He made all things for his pleasure. In Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders are gathered around the throne of God, and they are worshiping and declaring, "Oh, you are worthy, Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." God formed humankind so that we could delight him by being in relationship with him and in relationship with others for all eternity, so that we could be part of his family. He wanted to be our father, and he wanted us to live as his children. Now, I said a couple minutes ago that God's the ultimate mastermind, and so far this plan might seem pretty simple. Make the heavens and the earth, make Adam and Eve, have them populate the earth with other people, and live happily ever after with God as their father in the midst. And it would have been pretty simple if that's what happened, but God knew that it wouldn't be that way. God knew that when he formed that first man, Adam would choose to sin. And that sin would sever Adam's relationship with God. And in the same way that all people would inherit an eternal spirit through Adam, so would all people inherit a sinful nature through Adam. And that meant that every person would be separated from God forever. God didn't want that. We're his kids. And he did not want his children, the ones that he formed for his pleasure, to be separated from him at all. So before he even gave breath to Adam, he had a plan. In Ephesians 1:4, we read, "Long ago, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." So even before man sinned, even before God took dust and breathed into it, even before there was land or light, even before, in the beginning, God had a plan. He loved the people that he was yet to give life to, so he made a plan. He decided, he chose, that he would make a way for us once again to be sinless and without fault in his eyes. And you know, it's not like God made Adam and Adam sinned and then God said, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, okay, I love him. I guess now I should figure out a way to get rid of the sin so that Adam can hang out with me again. It wasn't at all like that. God knew it from the very beginning of time. Like, he knew what was going to happen, and he already made provision for it. God masterminded an intricate, beautiful plan that is unfolded through the Bible. And that plan would give each person the opportunity to be part of his family forever. Sin caused people to be separated from our Heavenly Father. Sin essentially made us to be orphans. But it's been God's heart all along to be our dad. And Ephesians 1:5 says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family. How? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Each person who has been orphaned by sin can receive adoption from God through Jesus. Verse 7 says, you know, he, God, was so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. So when we have faith in Jesus, we become without fault in our Father's eyes. And then we're no longer orphans, and we are totally his children, absolutely, undeniably his kids. And we have a new family. God is our dad. Jesus is not only our Savior, but also our brother, and other believers are our brothers and sisters. Yeah, amazing. Like, people's existence and this adoption plan that God made that is centered on Christ gives God great pleasure. Like, think about it. The God who formed, like, light and life out of darkness, like, that is the God that we can give pleasure to. Yeah, that's the God that we can delight. That's our dad. He's, like, I mentioned that one way that we're made in God's image is because we have an eternal spirit. Well, a second way is that we are able to give and receive love. Now, clearly, with this plan that God designed, like, his love is obvious to us. He showed it and has shown it over and over again. And he is constantly inviting us to receive his love. He's constantly extending his love to us. And he always wants his family to expand. He always wants more people to receive his offer of adoption and to choose to be his kids. And God wants us, as his children, to have a similar heart of love. He actually commands us to both love God and to love others. He wants us to remember that each person is created by God and is of God. And he wants us to value people, whether it's unborn people, born people, those that we know and those that we don't know. Like, value comes from God. It doesn't come from circumstances. It doesn't come from relationship. It solely comes because God has placed that within us. Now, God also wants us to desire that our family will expand too. And maybe that family is actually our immediate family, you know, the family that we live with at home. Maybe it's our cornerstone family. You know, how do we welcome others into this family of believers here? And for sure, God wants his family to expand. You know, the family, the body of Christ, and the capital C church. Like, God absolutely wants more and more people to come to him and be in relationship with him, and that way, in that way, have his family expand. Now, so however God leads us to love someone, you know, when we respond to that, we are displaying the image of God and we are being more like him, which, again, God delights in. Now, I'm going to invite Matt to come now. We're going to move into the next portion of our service, and I very much encourage you to listen this morning and just try and hear God's heart. You know, that's if we can grab a hold of just a bit of God's heart in this, in the understanding of Ephesians 1 and adoption and family, then that will help us walk out a little bit more of Christ's love.
So as Katie read in this passage in Ephesians 1, God has this great master plan. And that plan is to bring everything together in the world, in the universe, under his authority. And going even more specific into that plan, as Ephesians 1 talks about, is that he brings people, as Katie talked about, his children, his sons and daughters together into his kingdom family. And we've talked about kingdom family here at Cornerstone as we've gone through the book of Matthew. And so God uses this word adoption to bring his family together. He adopts us as orphans, as ones separated from our father, into his kingdom family. And so on Sanctity of Life Sunday, typically, and we've talked about it a little bit here, is abortion. And we want to be those recognizing and identifying that an unborn child in a mother's womb is alive, and that unborn child has a life and has a purpose. And so that is one thing that's commonly talked about on Sanctity of Life Sunday. This morning, we talked about that a little bit, but even more so now, we're going to talk about the concept of adoption, which Katie introduced to us so well. And that concept of adoption is not just a legal concept of adoption. It is that, where people adopt a child that's not their biological child to be part of their family and to be their child, and for that child to now have parents. And that adoption happens in lots of other ways, and that is a sanctity of life issue, as Katie explained, because as God created us in his image, he wants people to be a part of his family. And as bearers of his image, which you and I are, we are hardwired to follow in our Father's footsteps. Okay, we are not perfect like him. We can't be, but we still have this desire within us to do the things that he does, to do the things that Christ does, to be righteous and to desire purity, to desire holiness, to seek justice and to love mercy, those kinds of things. And another part of that is if our Father is an adopting Father, then there's something hardwired in us that is adoptive as well, that we are hardwired to bring people into our family such that they can be part of God's kingdom, that we want to be like our Father, and our Father is an adoptive Father, and he wants us to be adoptive. So that term adoption can be, like I said, it could be in a legal sense, but there's so many other ways in which people bring other people into their family to give life, to breathe life into each other. And this morning, I'm going to invite several families up from Cornerstone who have entered into this and who live out this image of God in this way through adoption in their families. And they all have done it and are doing it in unique ways. They're all different. And so so I want to invite the Wenzlers and the Swishers and the Halls and the Hersheys, or the Hershey, who's still sitting down, to come on up. And I have specific seats for you guys to sit in. So, Wenzlers, you guys are down here. All kids are going to be on the floor. Parents will be in the chairs, okay? So Wenzler, Swisher, and then the Halls, and then the Hersheys. So see if we can get that. I know that was a lot all at one time. Cool. All right, so we got everybody up here. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a little, basically, interview with these families. They're each going to get two questions that's going to draw out of them part of their family story as it relates to this concept of adoption. You're going to be disappointed in that they can't tell their whole story this morning. We just don't have that time. However, I want to encourage you to pursue them further. If there's something in their story that you heard that you didn't know or that you would like to hear more, maybe you don't know these folks at all. But you're only going to get just enough to probably, you know, just touch your appetite as to what God is doing in their life as this concept of adoption, and I use that in quotes because it's a broad term, as this concept of adoption plays out. I've instructed them that they have 2 minutes to answer each question that I give them. So we'll have a little bit of grace, but just a little in that. a little more than that, maybe. So listen to them as they share what it means for them to image God in their family, through this concept of adoption and how that is exemplifies this topic of sanctity of life and the holiness of life that God has given us. The first round of questions, everybody's going to get two. The first round, everybody's going to answer the same question. It's kind of an introductory question to help you understand a bit more of their story and their family. We also have pictures of, see if there's the clicker. I don't see the clicker. Justin, do you know where the clicker is? You don't? We lost. Okay, that's good. So we're going to put pictures of the families up there, and if they have a picture, so you can kind of see all of them up there. So we're going to start with the Wenzler family, Corey, Carrie, et al. And if you guys want to introduce your family, that's fine. And the question is, what are the circumstances, experiences, and or communications with God that your family had, which led to your family's expansion in size?
I'm Carrie. This is my husband, Corey. This is Ethan, Charlie, and Samantha. Sam is not our biological, but she's definitely has been a true blessing to all of us. She wandered into our backyard a few years ago, just like many children wander in our yard, and the great aunt and uncle took custody of her, and we became really, I don't know how to say it, attached to her. And one Sunday morning she was over playing, and we were just about ready to leave the house. And we're like, okay, we got to go to church. And we're like, Sam, you got to go home. And then we both looked at each other and went, that's probably not the right thing to do. So we started bringing her here. And that was about almost 4 years ago. And so you guys are actually her very first family that she had ever been with before. She has had a really tough road. And after 18 months of living with the great aunt and uncle, they kind of, under circumstances, had to push her to her dad having to take her back. And Corey and I and the boys, we all prayed about it a lot. And at that point, Sam was really struggling. Didn't want to leave security, but also, you know, wanted to be with her dad. So we all prayed about it, and we said, you know, it's God's will. You know, we gave her a foundation, and she knows that we loved her, and if it was in God's will and his way, she was going to come back to us.
The really cool wrap-up part of it is that was the beginning of the summer, the end of the school year. She left. It was a really ugly scene. We just continued to pray throughout the summer, and the unfortunate but fortunate fact was that her father was incarcerated by the end of the summer, and she really didn't have any place to go. Her aunt decided to exercise the guardianship that she still had, but wasn't prepared to continue to care for her in that way, and we decided to open our home. After a year of her living with us, we pursued custody through the courts, and with about a two-hour hearing, that we said nothing more than, yes, sir, we understand what the agreement is. God absolutely cleared the way for her to be able to be a permanent / non-permanent part of our family. That's about it.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. Same question to the Swishers. Tell us how you got to this point.
I'm Todd, and this is my wife, Katie, and daughter, Becky. This is three of the members of our family. If you look at the picture, the big picture?
Big picture, yeah.
If you look at the big picture, you'll see that it's not all represented here. our story actually started 5 years, started in 2005. I guess it's nearly 5 years ago, when Katie's late husband, Dave, suddenly passed away. And 2 months later, my wife, Valerie, also passed away. Katie found herself mother to four adult children. I found myself a single father of four children as well, two of which were still at home at age 3 and 13. The other two were out of the house by that time. I kind of figured that I would never marry again, even though perhaps deep inside I desired that that would happen, especially for Becky's sake. I didn't think that that would ever be a reality. Becky had some different ideas about that. What did you think, Becky?
I thought that you were definitely going to get married, and I kept praying about it, and finally you did.
What she didn't say is that she asked her kindergarten teacher, her first grade teacher, and her second grade teacher if they would be willing to marry me so that she would have a mom. Thankfully, they were married already, with one exception. But God had a perfect plan in place for us that today we can celebrate our family with Katie. Do you have
something to say? Todd didn't think that he would probably get married again, and for about 2 years after my husband David passed away, I didn't think so either. But then God said, no, I want you to start praying for the man that you're going to marry. So for 3+ years, I did. And, I tried not to have a list of who he would be, but it's pretty hard not to. So, I surrendered it repeatedly, but, I did assume that given our ages, that we probably would both have adult children if he had children. And so when I heard that he had then a 7-year-old, and I put that together with the fact that I really felt like Todd was the one that I had been praying for, I thought, wow, God, really? Like, me be a mom again? Like, I've done this. Like, are you sure I have enough energy? Are you sure I can do this? And God very clearly said to me, if I have Todd for you, I also have his family for you as well, and just trust me.
Okay, so I'm Phil. This is my wife, Rebecca, and this is our son, Felipe. We don't have a picture up there. Nope. I was hiding behind that. So, all right, we also have another son, James. He's in the preschool terrorizing the teachers. So that's our immediate family here. Felipe came into our lives in a different way. His father had asked Rebecca to babysit him. And that started when he was about 3 months old. And the babysitting turned into overnight because it was cold at the time and he didn't want to take him home at night, through the cold. But then it turned into weeks and sometimes months. Because as a single father, he just was not ready to be a, he was not able to be a full-time dad at the time. Rebecca became Felipe's mom in that way. And then when I came into the picture, I knew that she had a son, although I didn't know that he wasn't her biological son. It wasn't until later in our relationship that I got to know that. We started off as friends at work. That's how we met. So when I got married. So when Rebecca and I got married, there were some issues that required us to ask for legal custody to enable us to make decisions, and that was a hard thing to do, because that was taking a very big risk, because the biological family was not very happy that anybody would want to assert any kind of control. So we were very scared about that. And there was a lot of crying and a lot of praying between the two of us as we made that decision. But we decided that the risk was worth the reward of being able to call ourselves a family. Felipe still does have contact with his biological family, and they still visit together, and that's a good thing by and large. And I think that also makes it a difficult thing. I think a lot of step-parents out there can probably attest to what that's like when the child that they're a parent to is still someone else's child as well. And so that creates some difficulties there for us, because there's a lot of doubts and fears about what our place is and who we are and how we stand. And I know that Felipe feels some of those things as well, and that causes him the difficulties. And I think that translates to how we relate to God too, that so often we are concerned as to, are we really his kids? Or aren't we? You know, how secure is this relationship we have with him? And you know, we've gone through that back and forth for the past, well, for me and Felipe, 6 years, for Rebecca and Felipe for the past, how old are you now, 12? So, 12 years.
Thanks, Phil, and Rebecca and Felipe. For Courtney and I, most of you know, some of you may not, that we're in the process of completing a domestic infant adoption. We had looked at adopting and look through all the different ways that God would have us adopt, whether it be international, whether it be through the state foster care system, or whether it be domestic. And God led us to domestic adoption primarily because we tend to be people connected to the land. You know, we love Lebanon, and we love where God has placed us. And so we're with an agency out of Lancaster, which is, you know, a regional connection for us. And currently the place we find ourselves in now is just waiting for the phone call, essentially. All of our paperwork is done. The appropriate monies have been paid, and we're just waiting to get the news that a mother or a mother and father have chosen us to parent their child. And so that's where we find ourselves. Courtney's going to share some more.
I'll give my answer to this question first, and then Matt's going to give his answer, because our answers are a little bit different as to how God spoke to us and led us toward adoption. For me, something that I've learned is that God can speak to us in our past and have things happen to us in the past that we only see as time goes by. And so for me, as I was growing up, I really enjoyed working in the church nursery with my mom. And I would want to be in there every Sunday with her. And I just loved kids and I loved babies. And one thing that my parents still remind me of that I used to say, I guess one of the famous Courtney quotes was, "I wish all the babies in the world would come to me." And so my parents have reminded me of that a couple times. And so throughout life, I've gone in a lot of different directions with things, but I've always come back to kids. And just having a heart for kids, especially kids who might be poor, they might be different from me. I've just always had a heart for kids. And so when our first son was born about 7 years ago, I had felt God speaking to us, well, to me, about adoption. And we were living in Colorado at the time, and we had had some conversations with friends there who had adopted kids. We were thinking about it quite a bit, but had heard God saying, you know, now is not the time. So we kind of let that go. We had two more of our biological children. And this past summer, two summers ago, soon after our youngest son was born, we were at an event, and an acquaintance came up to me and started talking to me about their last adoption without me asking anything. And that, again, started things rolling in my head and in my heart that God was leading us toward adoption. So I spoke to Matt about it at that time, and he was not interested at all. And I just continued talking to him and pushing him and wanting to control his mind and really working on him to change his mind about adopting a child. I realized that none of that was working, and learned that it was something that God just wanted me to let go of. And for me, letting go of things is probably the hardest thing to ever do. But I did let go, and I didn't really think about it much. And a couple months went by, and out of nowhere, kind of for me, Matt came to me and said, "I think God is calling us to adopt a child." And so now it's Matt's turn to explain his thought processes.
Just a slight correction. I was philosophically and theologically in line with the concept of adoption. It was just the reality of it is where I really struggled, which there's such a fine line between those things sometimes, and sometimes a huge chasm. But for me, I had all these reasons not to, like it costs so much money, and that was the main reason. You know, look at our bank account. You know, do we want to have nothing? What if our refrigerator goes out and we spend all of our money? You know, I mean, those were the kinds of things I said. And then God really, I was running one day. I was on the rail trail, and all this, God just released me from that. Like, it was just like, all of a sudden, it was just like, you don't need to worry about that. I got him from my run and said, okay, let's do this. Like, God has released me, and I'm excited. And it's been exciting ever since then. And it's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's where we are.
We didn't want Matt to ask the next question to himself, so we did this really awkward thing of now I'm going to ask him a question, and Courtney. Okay, so this begins the second round of questions that are specific for each family. As you've waited for your adoption to come to fulfillment, what are the struggles and challenges that you've experienced, and what struggles and challenges do you anticipate when the adoption actually is final?
And just for the folks on the panel here, we really have to keep this one to 2 minutes now. So the kid's upstairs, so we're going to do our best. I'll try to set the tone. Courtney and I will.
All right, the biggest struggle for me is waiting. 6 months ago, we completed our home study and everything else that we had to do, and I thought that we would have a child 6 months ago, but we haven't, and the waiting for me always causes me to doubt God and to doubt his plan for us, and I get frustrated, and just waiting is really hard.
And my biggest struggle is dealing with Courtney while she's dealing with her struggles of waiting. And so we actually had, we've had this conversation multiple times, and we had a really emotional conversation about it the other, on Friday night, actually. My perspective is that God is weaving the story, that we have no idea what pieces he's putting into place. And Courtney agrees with all this. She just wants it to come to fruition yesterday. And I'm willing to just say, like, man, this is so exciting. No matter how long it is, God's weaving this amazing story. We don't even know what's going on right now. And he's touching some young teen's heart, or he's touching some family's heart that already has a kid, and he's doing something. And somehow, someplace, they're going to find their way to our agency, and they're going to choose us. And it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be this amazing thing. And so however long it takes, I'm okay with, because it's going to be beautiful. And Courtney's like, yeah, that's great, but today, you know, kind of thing. And so for us to balance each other in that has been a real struggle. And for me to communicate that truth to her, for her to receive that, and then for us to find that middle ground where I can understand where she's coming from and she can receive the picture that I have as well. So know what I'm doing. The Hall's question, specifically for their family, is, what is one example from your family story where you knew that you had experienced God's blessing because you were being faithful to his call to expand your family?
When I think about blessings, I think about many things, but the one big one is Felipe himself. I see him as a huge blessing in my life. And you see Felipe, that he's big and strong, but he has such a gentle heart. And that is all, I appreciate that a lot. He is a good friend, and he's a good son and a good brother. He has good feelings. And then after having 3 miscarriages, I see Felipe as a miracle in my life.
You know, the teachers upstairs love it when we get along, because then they can spend like 10, 15, 20 minutes playing Ghosts in the Graveyard with the kids. So it's no big deal. Yes, I'll keep it short. You know, from my previous statement, one could take that being an adoptive parent is difficult, and it is. You know, there are a lot of challenges that come with adoption, and Ira outlined some of the biggies. So if you're considering it, you should be aware of those things. But at the same time, there is a ton of joy that comes with it. You know, being a parent is a joyous thing, and Felipe has been a source of joy for me. And you know, we've worked through those things over the years, and you know, he's my son and I'm his father, and we both know that. And you know, that's not a thing that we are unsure of. So, you know, our relationship is the thing that brings me joy.
Swishers, your question is, where has God's goodness been most evident to you as your family has taken shape over the past year?
Well, I can say that I love having an 8-year-old daughter call me mom. I have definitely shifted into just like welcoming the light and the life and the joy that Becky helps bring into my life now. So that's really cool. And another thing that Todd and I were talking about is just how much God speaks to us through her. Like an example is early on in our marriage, Todd was saying one night, you know, I want our family to worship together, but I don't know what that looks like. And I said, yeah, I don't know either, but I have a feeling Becky's probably going to be in on this somehow. The next morning at breakfast, Becky said, can we do art together as a family this morning? And Todd and I just looked at each other like, we think that's God.
I like that I actually have a mom and a dad instead of just a dad.
I think for me, God speaks of his goodness most strongly when I get to see Katie and Becky interact. It's amazing to see, for example, the two of them in the front of the church doing flags together, something that I never would have imagined I would be able to see again. It's awesome just to see how much love there is between them already, and we have a lifetime to go yet. So I think that's where God speaks most of his goodness.
And Corey and Carrie and family, your question is, how do you simultaneously honor God's gift of placing Sam in your family as well as honoring the relationship she maintains with her biological family?
So I have to tell you, I read this and I grumbled just a little bit because I will tell you that this is probably an area within us that where our human weakness is at strongest, and that, but that God's strength is probably most evident. There's a part of her family that actually only lives three doors away, so it's wonderful. They're great with her, for her, the fact that she can just yell over a couple yards and be able to hook up with her family. We actually try to encourage that she stays connected with that, because, I mean, that's part of who, that's a big part of who she is. I think we've been blessed by that, because of the extended family that we've received through it. I mean, heck, two of our cousins are helping to remodel our attic this week. So, I mean, it's a really cool thing. Yeah. But on the flip side, I think where the struggle for us is the most is with the interaction with biological parents and the way that when she returns from visitation, that she appears to struggle, or some of the ways that maybe they inappropriately interact with her. And it's been interesting to watch. It's been interesting to watch and have to engage her when she comes back, and knowing how to best love her in the situation, while dealing with the sometimes just rage that we feel due to the love that we feel for this little girl and for her spirit, but in also understanding that, and this is really tough for me as a dad, the understanding and remembering the deep soul connection that we have with our kids, regardless of the wrong that her parents may do or the right that her parents may do. Just the deep soul connection that still allows her to sometimes just still see them as mom and dad. But I will tell you that I am truly blessed from that first moment that I heard her not call me Corey when we were at the playground and call me dad. And I know that my 2 minutes are up, but I want to share one last thing. And this is specifically from our Father. And it really just feeds my Father heart, for my kids. And it's just a few verses from Psalm 127. And starts in verse 3. It says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. And he will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates." And I just want to thank God for the blessing of of filling my quiver, whether I feel deserving of it or not. It's just a beautiful and humbling experience to be a dad.
Thanks, everybody. How about a round of applause for all of our families that participated? I'm going to close this time in prayer. Worship team, you guys can come on up. If everybody could just stand up and extend a hand to these families as we bless them. Jesus, we thank you for the stories that we heard today, because they're your story. And not only do these families get to experience your story in a very strong way through this concept, through this idea and this manifestation of adoption that you hold near and dear to your heart as you've adopted us, but as a body, we get to experience these stories together as one family and share with one another. So Jesus, thank you for your story. Thank you for showing us yourself. through these stories this morning. And Jesus, I just feel particularly convicted to pray for those that may not have any children and desire to have children, and maybe they can't, or they've struggled, or whatever the case may be. Jesus, we pray that your presence would just be very real in their life as well, God, that they would feel your love, your grace towards them particularly as well. So Jesus, thanks. Thanks for your life. Thanks for imaging yourself in us so that we might live out and get to experience some of what you experience when you adopt us and have adopted us into your family. In your son's name we pray. Amen.